Or my wife wrote my bio. No, I wrote it. Well, it's a delight to be here this morning. I was just so happy to have the opportunity to come and to speak and share with you. It's been some years since I've been here. Some of you might remember Carl Timbers. Carl Timbers is my wife's uncle, and I think the last time I was here was for his funeral. And one of the things I remember, I think it was Pastor Thurton that said it. He said, "Uncle Carl, he was a champion at being second. He didn't mind being second. And the reason he was second is he was always helping out the first place guy do a little bit better." Just a great and a wonderful man. Well, this morning, I'm going to be sharing with you from the series that we're doing at Bethany called Encounters, Encounters with Jesus. And my focus will be on Ananias the disciple. Ananias, we find in the story of Saul's conversion. Saul, we know, was the name of the Apostle Paul before he became the apostle by name. And this is in this story, in this historical account, this is a rare event when we see that Jesus is speaking, as he did with John in the first chapters of Revelation. So Jesus is doing something very important here. There's a change and there's a shift in what's happening in the body of Christ and in their understanding. And Christ himself speaks into it. I believe that these encounters, as we have looked at them and as we will look at this one, are important to us. Because they are examples to us of the way that God, through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, continues to speak into our lives in this day. You know, coming in here today and being a part of this service, I often marvel wherever I go and preach or share, or whether I'm with a body of believers, whether it's in South America or Asia or here or in Mexico, the Spirit of the Lord is the same. And the language of the people is the same. And it's a beautiful language, and it's a beautiful focus on who our God is, and in seeking him and in honoring him. And it's a testimony to the fact that our God is alive, and our God speaks, and our God directs. And I want to encourage you with two things this morning. First of all, something you already know, that you can sense God's presence here in this place. And you are a very friendly group of people. Oh, hi, Joan. I wanted to see you. I always appreciated Joan when I came and visited Winston 13 years ago. And I have one of her old school textbooks. I'm not sure how I ended up with it, but it's Spurgeon's lectures to my students, and it's been very helpful to me. But I did want to say, coming in and being welcomed, you're doing a great job at that. And that's really important so that people feel that way. So I want to encourage you with that. Well, our God speaks. And as followers of Jesus Christ, it's important that we have an attentive ear to his voice, that we have an expectation that he's going to speak. I'd like to point out as well that, before I read the passage, that Ananias has a vision. God speaks to him through a vision, and this vision has great purpose. And it may interest you to know that this particular vision that takes place, you here today are part of the reason for that vision and the fact that it took place. A vision is simply this: it's spiritual seeing. And I ask you to think this morning, follower of Jesus, what do you see? What do you see? Sometimes we think that perhaps the spiritual sight is for others and for leaders, but the scripture really shows us that God speaks into all of our lives, and we as believers need to be attentive to listen. When I was pastoring the church in St. Anne's, one day the Lord led me at an elders' meeting to take the elders out for a ride on the town. Well, and our church was very much the same as this. This is fantastic. You know, it's out in the middle of a field. And St. Anne's is the same. And people come and they flock to it, and just like here. And so it just reminded me of that, the similarities. And we rode around our local town, and I asked them before we left, I says, I really believe God wants us to go on this ride and answer this question. What do you see? And we drove here and there, and they mentioned different things that they saw and the beauty of the things that God has made and what he was doing. And then after we continued to look, and I continued to ask the question, they continued to look deeper and deeper, and then they began to realize that this was a spiritual seeing we were doing. We were looking deeper. And one man said, I see souls. And I believe, honestly, that God wants us to see souls. He desires for us to see and recognize what he's doing, but to see souls is a real blessing. Because what begins to come alive in your heart and in your being is a concern for that soul and to recognize that they are eternal. And you begin to participate in God's design for his for salvation through for the work of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. And you begin to pray. And you begin to seek him on behalf of those souls. And I ask you this morning, is spiritual sight given or is it learned? And you know, I believe that it's both. And with that, I'd like us to look at Acts chapter 9, and you'll see it on the screen. I'm reading in the NIV. And as we look at Saul's conversion, I just want to encourage you to pay particular attention to the conversation that takes place between God and Ananias. Ananias is only mentioned here, and then when Paul gives testimony about Ananias in Acts 22. This is not the Ananias of Ananias and Sapphira, of course, in Acts chapter 5, and it's not the Ananias who was the high priest. And sometimes we wonder about our significance in God's story. I believe that sometimes these events that take place with one person at one time is a real encouragement to us to recognize that our stories may not be recorded, not in this earth, maybe not in the scripture, but they are in the heavenlies because we're making a difference for the future. This takes place just after Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch when he led him to an understanding of salvation. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any who were there, who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord said to him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul the persecutor, hunting those who belonged to the way. I'd like us to look at Saul for a moment here and spend a little time trying to understand his motive. Saul is persecuting the people of the way. The people of the way are those who have come to Christ, come to believe that he is Lord, committed their lives to him, just as we have. The Holy Spirit has come into their lives. He's directing them, and they are being persecuted by the Jewish leaders for it. And Saul is an advent persecutor of the people of the way. And sometimes we can get very critical of Saul and think, wow, what a wicked, evil man. But if we stop and we step back and we look at things in the context of his time and in understanding, we realize that Saul was believing he was serving God with all of his heart and all of his being. He believed that, let's put it this way. From the time of his youth, he was taught the law. He was taught about the sacrificial system. He was taught the Ten Commandments. He was taught this is the way to serve God. This is the way to follow him. And now somebody was saying there's a different way. It would be almost like, or exactly like, somebody coming to you and me and saying, we are no longer going to bend our knee and serve Jesus Christ. We're going to serve a different way. And I know what I would feel. That's heresy. I am never turning from Jesus. And I'm sure that Saul was thinking, I am never turning from God. We've got to stop this thing because people are being led astray. So when we understand him in that context, we can see something of his heart and something of the reason why God said, you know, you do, I'd imagine God looking at Saul and saying, you do serve me with all of your heart. I've got to show you my way. The things that we look at and we witness are single moments in history and in time and changes that God is making in bringing people to him through Christ. It's miraculous. It's wonderful. It's new. I'm so glad, too, that nobody's ever going to be able to come to say on God's behalf that God will tell us not to follow Jesus anymore. We know how the book ends and how the book finishes. We'll be following him into eternity. But this was something different. And all the law and all the prophets and everything was there to show those who were looking. But Saul hadn't seen it yet. So that helps us understand Saul and why he was so sincere in what he was doing. And we could see Jesus reach out to him. But I like this phrase so much, those who belonged to the way. It's a sweet phrase. And it's so meaningful to us. Those who belong to the way, whose way? The way of Jesus. The way of following Jesus as Lord. Jesus said, and I believe these words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. That, some people would look at as exclusive. That is not exclusive. That's an invitation. Here is the way. Walk ye in it. It's not hard to find. I've told you about it. The word belong is a powerful one. And it illustrates an absolute intimacy, the absolute intimacy of the way. One belongs to the way. It's as if to say, if it were not for you, the way would not be. If it were not for you, the way would not exist. The way exists because you do. The way needs followers. Ananias, the disciple, we see him here responding to God. And I like this word disciple. It's a good word. And I'm thankful that in North America and South America, and I know in Asia right now, it's wonderful. I know through Operation Multiplication, it's incredible what's happening in South America. That's a one-on-one disciple-making curriculum. We know that Pastor Phil Del So, our president, developed the Way of Jesus training, and it's wonderful training in helping followers of Jesus disciple others in a very natural way. And there's a movement right now among the Lord's people to know and learn and understand what it means to disciple. And I'm very fortunate because as the director of group life at Bethany, that's my job, to help people to grow as disciplers, meaning that they are learning to follow Jesus themselves and grow in that, but they are also helping others. And I honestly and totally believe that there's a part of the Christian DNA that can only exist, and that can only be alive, that can only be vibrant when we are discipling others. I'm gonna go off my text here a little bit and just bring some clarity. First of all, body of Christ, you are discipling others. You're doing that. That's the beautiful thing about the way of Jesus. And we as a church, I believe, have done so well over the years with the different ministries that we've had and we have. And I believe that those ministries need to continue to be vibrant. But the world does not come to us anymore, not the way that they used to. And so it's necessary for us to go to them and to learn how to, in our place of work, in our neighborhoods, how is it that I can be a discipler and help people take the next step in walking to and walking with the Lord Jesus Christ? Those are questions important for us to ask and answer. So Ananias is a disciple. He's a follower and a learner of Jesus. It also says in Acts 22 that he was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there in Damascus. That's important for us to know because we see that Ananias came to know the Lord Jesus Christ differently than Paul did. Saul, who's Paul, the Lord met him directly and in his sincerity redirected him. But Ananias, God worked in his spirit, and somewhere along the way, someone shared who Jesus Christ was, and he came to believe, even though he was a devout observer of the law. And we see like Nicodemus and like Joseph of Arimathea, he also became a follower of Jesus. The way of Jesus teaches us three principles that will help us develop spiritual sight. And you know them. Listen, trust, and obey. I believe we have a few songs kicking around about those themes. Listen, trust, and obey. So what I want to do as we look at Ananias is first begin by talking about the fact that Ananias listens. Ananias listens. The Lord called out to him in a vision, Ananias. And Ananias recognizes his voice. He discerns the Lord's voice. Yes, Lord. And so do we. When the Holy Spirit lives in us, we know when the Lord's speaking. Sometimes we have to seek him and we have to look a little bit deeper, but if you've been a believer for any length of time and you've spent time in the Word and you've spent time in fellowship with other believers, you know the voice of the Spirit. You do. Even as you look at the Scriptures, it's a marvel how many times God speaks to his people. And so it should be no surprise to us that Ananias discerns the voice of the Lord and responds, yes, Lord. And then Jesus does something amazing. He gives him precise instructions. I like this. There's no mistake in what Jesus is doing. This is very important. He doesn't want him to miss it. Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. Straight Street is a street that runs from east to west, right through the center, from one end to the other of the town or city of Damascus. There are shops on both sides. And where people travel back and forth as the roadway in the middle. So it's on Straight Street. It's the house of Judas. And when you go to this house of Judas, I want you to ask for a man from Tarsus. So not just any Saul, it's got to be the Saul from Tarsus. His name's Saul. And he's praying. And then I want you to know as well, Ananias, that in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place hands on him to restore his sight. And in a moment, Ananias is going to mention some things about Saul that he just wants to make sure that the Lord's aware of. Because I'd imagine the one thing that he must be thinking at this time is, Lord, you told the bad guy my name. You told the bad guy my name. And part of listening to God is conversation with God and gaining understanding. And so Ananias shares his concern humbly. You've told him my name. Do you not realize what he's come here to do? I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And you know, I don't know why God allows things to happen. Things like why Saul was allowed to persecute believers even to the point of death, separating them from families, having them imprisoned, having the church persecuted the way it was, him giving approval when Stephen was martyred. There are some things we cannot explain or understand, but I do know that God knows. And sometimes, and many times, that needs to be enough. And he has come here with the authority from the chief priest to arrest all those who call on your name. Ananias was a devout follower of the law. He understood the authority of the chief priest. He understood what they can do. He understood that it meant that people in Damascus' lives were going to be in danger and they were going to be changed. This is the man he was called to go and speak to. And I find it amazing that before God talks to Ananias, he tells Saul, there's a man named Ananias going to come and pray for you. Ananias hasn't said yes yet. One of the things that we need to be aware of and to be thinking about for those of us who belong to the way, because we belong to this way of Jesus too, is that belonging to the way entails the words, yes, Lord. When Ananias took this step, things changed for the Gentiles everywhere. The Gentiles are the nations. The Gentiles are those who are not Jews. And this is the transition, and this is the change that's taking place right now. The Lord Jesus Christ has been presented to the Jews. They have responded. But now, he is being presented to the Gentiles. And that's where we fit in. If you're not of Jewish origin here today, you are of the Gentiles, of the nations. And here, Jesus is reaching out to you. And prophecy is being fulfilled, and his words are being filled. I get to that a little later. I get excited and get ahead of myself. But Ananias shares these things as if to say, Lord, you know, is this really safe? Is this the best? Is this the best for the way? And the beauty of what's taking place here is that Jesus and Ananias are talking about the soul of a man, the eternal destiny of a man. Never give up on praying for those that you're praying for and they never seem to come to Christ. They never seem to respond. Never give up on that. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And so he's the one to talk to. Continue to pray, to continue to intercede for them, and enter into that beautiful conversation between you and the Lord about the soul of a man or a woman, a boy or a girl that you love and you care about. Now, Ananias must trust. Go. It's a command. You go, Ananias. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings, and before the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he will have to suffer. And perhaps one of the ways that Saul would know how much they would have to suffer before he even began is because he initiated it. He saw it before his own eyes, even as he approved the persecution of believers. And we know what happened to him. We know that he was stoned. These days, you got to clarify that. He was stoned with rocks. And he was beaten many times. He was shipwrecked. He was left for dead and cold and hungry. What caused this man, Saul, who became Paul, to be willing to suffer for the way so much and to bring the message with clarity to us, who were not part of the Jewish community, who were not part of the Israelite community? What drove him? Well, he had seen Jesus. He had encountered Jesus. And Ananias' trust results, as I said, in us coming to a place where here we are today. We see the fulfillment of the scriptures here today. Just pause and let yourself take in God's grace. We are here today because Ananias obeyed and Saul obeyed. And the way has come with clarity to us, so much so that whether I'm in South America or Asia or United States or Canada or in Mexico, and I'm among believers, we all believe the same. Oh, there might be little unimportant deviances, but when it comes to salvation through Christ alone and the work of the Holy Spirit and listening to Him, it is the same, and it's a testimony of the guarantee of the work of the Holy Spirit, and God tells the truth. And whether I'm in St. Catharines or Markham, the Spirit of the Lord is here and there at work. We're in the midst of a miracle, and sometimes we need to stop and see it. Ananias obeys. Ananias went to the house and entered it. It took faith for Ananias to go to that door and knock on it. I'm sure you, like myself, have had times where God has impressed a task on you, and He's given some clarity. But you still struggle to doubt. Why? Because we step forward in faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, the Scripture says. Only faith can only exist if its counterpart, doubt, exists. And so we move forward and we say, yes, Lord, and we take the chance, and we have to cross that threshold of doubt before we can really enter into the miracle and recognize, wow, God's doing something and I get to be a part of it. Now look at this, because this just gets better and better. Ananias goes in and he places his hands on Saul. That's important. And he says, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. To my knowledge, Saul and Ananias did not know each other, and they had never spoken. Ananias knew about the vision that Saul had had about him coming, but there's nothing said about the conversation that took place between Ananias and the Lord. And so Ananias comes, and the Lord wants to make sure that Saul really understands that it's him. So there's some miracles taking place. First of all, Ananias knows details that he wouldn't otherwise know unless he'd been communicating with this Jesus. Second, he lays hands on him. The laying on of hands is important. And, you know, it was in India, actually, that I learned this. Because when there are, where there are so many gods that they believe in, they're pantheistic, and so many gods that they believe in, When you lay hands on someone and you are a representative of Jesus Christ and the miracle takes place, there is no doubt from where the miracle came. Without the hands, well, it could come from anywhere. That's important to note. It's not that we're so powerful, but that we're representing the one who is. And you know, I believe that in Saul's case, he prayed to the same God. He was just learning something new about him. There needed to be a distinction that this healing and this change came from one who belonged to the way. And God was teaching him some specifics about who he was and what he was doing. And what an incredible moment when Ananias has taken this step of faith and says, "Brother Saul." When he recognizes and he affirms that his enemy, that the one who had come to destroy him, is now his brother. This is a precious moment. I've met people along the way who, when they tell me their testimony, I would just never believe that they could be as evil as they describe themselves. They are my brothers and sisters in Christ. I could not believe they had the language that they had, or the ideas, or the lifestyle they had. I can't believe it. Because Christ has changed their lives. I mean, it's astonishing to me. I believe they're telling me the truth, but Christ so changes a life that we come into a communion when we come into the way that is powerful by the work of the Holy Spirit. And this is what's happened. Brother Saul, what a step, what an invitation. And things begin to change for Saul. In fact, the scripture says that Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus, and at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. This is amazing. All of a sudden he began to see, it was affirmed. And all those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't this the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. Ananias took the steps, responded to God's calling. And it says that Saul was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he was baptized. And maybe, just maybe, Ananias had the privilege of helping his brother in Christ take that next step. The meaning behind the encounter, the salvation of the nations, this is where we fit in. God is moving his people to reach beyond Jerusalem and Judea, now thinking about Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We see in this chapter the movement of God to raise up a man who will take the message to the Gentiles. And we see in chapter 10 this turning continuing to take place as God gives a vision to Cornelius, the Roman soldier, who sees a man named Peter, specifically at a certain place in Joppa, go down and get him and bring him back. And Peter has this amazing vision from God about something that God is doing. And he comes back. And now here, this is important. While Peter is preaching the gospel, the Holy Spirit comes on upon the Gentiles without laying on of hands. I believe that this is something that God is doing to show the Jewish Jews this. I'm going to come upon these Gentiles in exactly the same way I came upon you. It will not be through your authority or through your good work that these Gentiles will come to know me. There's an equality here. I want you to learn to serve me together. Does spiritual seeing still happen today? I believe it does. But it is always within the context of what God is doing. And we must keep in step with Him. Speaking of the end times in Luke chapter 21, Jesus spoke about the time of the Gentiles or the nations. That only after that's fulfilled, he was going to do some other work. Well, we live in those days and those times. And so I hope you see today with me as we look at this encounter with Ananias and what Ananias was called to do and what Saul was called to do, that this is our calling too. And that God is just as passionate about the neighbors that you have here. It was great to hear about that campaign where you're going to put things on people's doors to invite them. I remember Mark Bolander preaching a sermon one time. Should we knock on doors? Is it worth it? You know? Just enough to keep doing it. Should we do this? Should we do that? Just enough to keep doing that. Always motivated by our love for Christ and a desire and passion to see people come to know Him and directed by the Spirit. Listen, believe and expect God to speak to you about the concerns of His heart, even in our day. That's something we should believe. Trust that God speaks. I know that there are believers who will scoff and say, when somebody will say, God told me, God directed me. There are believers even who will scoff and discourage this and say, well, they're just using that for their own gain. Because how can we argue with them if they say, God said? Well, the fact is we can argue with them. If we sense that they are out of line with the Scriptures, we can show them. But that should not minimize the fact that our God speaks. I remember reading this. I got the Bible on CD. And it was one of those ones where every single person in the Scripture had a different voice. Everybody. It's actually done with a lot of actors and actresses in Hollywood. And what really astonished me was, as God has had His own voice too, is just how much God spoke. He speaks a lot. So we need to be attentive to listen and expect and know that we can discern His voice. And then it's important to obey. Jesus said this in John chapter 10:16. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Who is he talking about? He's talking about the nations. He's talking about us. We're on it. You can see as we look at the Scripture, we're on His mind and we're on His heart a lot. And then He says this in John 10:27. And take this to heart, and I hope that it will encourage you today. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Follower of Jesus, you know His voice. Trust that you can hear Him. You probably have testimonies of the times that you heard God and He directed you, and you can see the outcomes after you cross that threshold of doubt. Share them with each other. It will encourage each other to take those steps and move forward. As I said at the beginning, it is absolutely evident that God is at work here. And you know, it's a lot tougher to reach our neighbors in our neighborhoods than it used to be. Don't you agree? What's important is that we don't lose heart. Because I know that we can have a default that kind of steps back and says, I just don't have the right stuff. I just don't have the right gifts. I know Mike can do it. I know Barry can do it. I know Sam can do it. Not me. Who was Ananias? God spoke to Ananias, and we see it in the Scripture. God spoke to others. I think about the guarantee of the Holy Spirit being placed in us to guarantee that this is that the work that God has begun in us is true. I want to encourage you, look deeply. Expect God to speak, and it's going to be so connected to the work of the Spirit as you read the Scripture. You can't hear God well without reading the Scripture, and it's going to be affirmed by other brothers and sisters. But if you come to a place, and I will say this too, you may read the Scripture for a length of time and feel like you hear nothing. It is impossible. Even if you feel like that, it is impossible to read the Scripture and have God not do something. And there are seasons where God will be quiet as you read the scripture. He'll be quiet for a long time. And you'll feel like, wow, it's like I don't get anything out of this. You're getting a lot. And he's planting seeds and he's going deep and he's working deep. And then all of a sudden, one day when you're faithful, your eyes will be open and you'll go, wow, I can see something I never could have seen unless I took that journey. And then here's something that's important. Maybe you're here today and you've never made a commitment to Jesus Christ. And that will explain why you can't hear him. His only call would be, come to me and be saved. People can even work in the church and be a part of it and do lots of great things, but have never come to that place of surrender. And I just want to just share the gospel quick. If you believe that Jesus is Lord, if you believe that God raised him from the dead, and you confess that with your mouth and believe it in your heart, you will be saved. It's not hard. And there is a beautiful point where you realize that you're a sinner and separated from God. It's a great moment because you feel the weight of it. And when you feel the weight of it and realize there's nothing you can do about it, there's that sense of hopelessness. And God is there to say, but I am your hope. And you repent and you yield your life to him and you say, I cannot do this on my own. And you open up your heart to him. He comes in and lives in you. And that's how you began. And that's how you continue. Even when, I don't know, Lord, how I can bring this gospel to others or how I can reach these nations. But here I am. And I'm listening. And I'm trusting. And I want to obey. Father, we bow before you. We recognize that you are doing a great work these days in North America. We recognize that you have been faithful to fulfill your promises, and we recognize as well that we are a fulfillment of actions taken place so many years ago. And we ask, Lord, that we, in our actions, you might so guide and direct us that even though it might never be written, that in eternity it might be seen that years from now, because we obeyed, because we said yes to you, that there will be people in this church and their lives will be changed because we said yes. Lord, each person here, you speak to in a different way. They're in a different place. And I pray, Lord, that where the enemy would come to pour on guilt, that he would be rebuked in the name of Jesus. And that each one here would sense the sweet fellowship of invitation, not of what they're missing in terms of ability, but in the fact that you desire to speak to them, and that is enough. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.